Thank you all for coming this morning. No, a lot of you obviously did not hear that I was speaking because you came anyway. Thank you. Have you ever met someone you hadn't seen for quite some time and they continually talk about themselves for about 10 or 15 minutes and then finally realize that you're there too? Well, Max Lucado, a Christian writer and speaker, tells of one summer day that he ran into a friend in the hotel lobby. They had not seen each other for about a year. His friend had a few minutes. Max had an empty stomach. So they bought deli sandwiches, found a table, and they took a seat. "What has God been teaching you this year?" Max asked his friend with no particular expectations, but his friend gave him more than a sandwich to chew on. "What has God been teaching me this year?" his friend reflected. "Well, he's been teaching me that it's not all about me." That's something for each of us to ponder. It's not all about me. My message is just about that. What shall I give? What shall I give to others and to God? You know, championship teams, whether in sports, debate, or any team event, have something in common. They play with one goal in mind. Each player contributes his own gifts and efforts so that the greater goal, winning, can be reached. But players who seek their own glory at the sacrifice of the team's glory drive the team away from success. And so it is with life. The goal is not for our own glory. In fact, trying to make life all about us pushes happiness further out of reach. Our society in America is not wired for this kind of thinking. It's a me-centered world out there, which destroys much of what could be good. There's a scripture that I'm going to share with you this morning from Matthew 6, the very first verse. "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward in heaven." And also, Matthew 6, verses 19 and 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In verse 1, Jesus is speaking of acts of righteousness. You're thinking, well, what does that mean? This is doing things right, whether anybody sees us or not. You know how sometimes we might do things and think, oh, nobody sees. Jesus may be speaking of ball players, soccer players, those who give to the poor, to all who give of ourselves to do it humbly, without looking for praise, but to do it right. Jesus used these words to emphasize the importance of seeking only God's approval by our actions, by the way we live. Long before New Testament times, around 400 BC, was a man by the name of Socrates. He was an astute student of values and ethics, and he said, "We are discussing no small matter here, but how we ought to live." Jesus also said it's very important how we live. He said, as followers of him, we are to let our lights shine for him. I think that it was a K-State basketball player last year who was not real tall, but he was the kind of person, I mean, if you're real tall, you know, sometimes if you're places and somebody walks in a room and they're really tall and they think, "Why, he'd make a good basketball player." Well, this fellow was not real tall, but he was very fast and he stole the ball from the opponents and he was just an outstanding guard for K-State. When interviewed, he would always acknowledge God's presence in his life and that God had blessed him with his ability. He could have said, "Well, I spend a lot of time at the gym," or he could have said, "I spend a lot of time in the weight room," or he could have said, "Well, I take care of myself. I eat right and I sleep." Or, you know, he even could have said, "It's the coaches. They've really coached me well." But instead, he acknowledged God as his helper. I think in every interview that I saw or read, he said that God had blessed him. What shall I give? Give of myself in every way that I can. I'm sure that Lexi, our very able pianist for worship service, would say that God has blessed her with the ability to play like she does. True, she learned how to read music, she took piano lessons and practiced, but God has blessed her, her fingers, her ears, her eyes. Now, how do I know? Because I read music. I took piano lessons. I practiced. But I soon saw that I was not going to be any Lexi Robinson. No Mozart, no Chopin. So I pursued other endeavors. But Lexi, we do so appreciate your sharing your talent with us to make our worship experience more meaningful. Before I go on to other verses, let's be clear that when we do things for others, that we do it for God's glory. Glory means preeminence or most important. Colossians 3:17 helps me almost daily with this as it states, quote, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." What shall I give? Give of myself every day in every way. That includes how I spend my time, my money, my bank account. Jesus said to not store up for ourselves treasures on earth. Well, how do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? The Bible has some instructions about this. We need to be careful with our time and our wealth. Where are we putting our treasure? You know, America used to be known as a generous country. People took care of their neighbors, the poor, and they gave up their money to the Lord by giving to the local church, Christian colleges, the Gideons, and other benevolent organizations. But, you know, I was impressed when I heard this story a few years ago, and you might have heard it too, and I quote, "One New Yorker proved that giving to charity was a better gift than treating himself to a new iPhone. And now the Salvation Army wants to find him and say thanks. Holiday bell ringers manning the group's new giant red kettle outside the Meatpacking District Apple store were stunned on December 7th when a man walked up and handed a volunteer an envelope stuffed with $1,020 and a touching handwritten note. In the note, the man said that he was going to buy a new iPhone and go to Starbucks. But then when he saw the Salvation Army bell ringers, he thought of the poor and the needy, and he thought, I have a nice warm home. I have plenty to eat. And he decided that he didn't need the new phone after all, and he gave the money to the Salvation Army. Here at Hayes Christian Church, we have an offering box, as Jenny had mentioned earlier, as you go out the center doors. Many of you know that we have 8 different missions that we support on a monthly basis. Mission giving has always been a part of this congregation. In addition to missions, we also have bills to pay for the upkeep of this building, for the parsonage across the street, and for a salary for Pastor Cana. Jesus said in Matthew 10:8, "Freely you have received, freely give." He also said, is quoted in Acts 20:35 by the writer Luke, he says, "The Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." You know, in Old Testament times, people were told to bring their tithes to the Lord. A tithe was a tenth of their wages or of their crops. In New Testament times, we're told that people brought their tithes and offerings to the temple. You know, when I was a teenager, a long time ago, I remember we had a man, Mr. Stansfield, teaching our high school Sunday school class. He was trying to teach us teenagers to give to the church on a regular basis, and he encouraged us to give a tithe or a tenth of our earnings. Well, some of the kids in the class had regular jobs after school and weekends, but most of us just had occasional employment. I still remember that he challenged each of us to keep a record of the money that we made and to give a tenth to the church. And then he said, if the Lord has not blessed you within a year, I will pay back your losses. Now, I never went to him a year later and asked him how many kids or how much money he had to pay back, but I do know that he was sincere in what he was teaching. And he must have taught it good because I still remember all these years later. I recall that he read from Malachi, which is an Old Testament book, and he told us to mark chapter 3 in that book of Malachi. And I want to read those verses for you now, but just first a little background. The Israelites had been cheating God for a long time. Remember now, these were often people who lived off the land. They were farmers, cattlemen, shepherds, etc. And one of the ways that they brought offerings to the temple was to bring a tenth of their crop that was used in the temple. There were a lot of people working in the temple, and this helped to feed them. Some kept back way too much for themselves, and they weren't giving the whole tenth. They must have been bad people. And others, when they brought their grain as an offering, the priests and the religious leaders were in charge of the scales, and they lied about the amount that was given. The priests and the religious leaders were the ones that controlled the scales, and lots of times they would move the scales in their favor, and they kept part of that grain for themselves. Finally, this had been going on for so many years. God confronted them through the prophet Malachi, and this is what he said. This God speaking through Malachi. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, God said, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, said the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. What a promise. In other words, our teacher, Mr. Stansfield, was telling us that if we gave a tenth, we would be abundantly blessed. Now, I don't think that we should be motivated to give freely to the Lord and then sit back and just watch for his blessings. He was teaching us that people should be motivated, that we teenagers ought to be motivated, because of our love for God and appreciate all that he has done for us, and then give out of a cheerful, grateful heart. In the New Testament, Jesus was teaching to give freely because we have been so blessed, and that is more, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if we want to give a tenth or 10% of our earnings, that is fine. If we want to give 15%, that is fine. If we want to give 15% plus some offerings, that is fine. And it is a private matter. What I give is between the Lord and me. It's not for me to put out general information, not to announce. What you give is between the Lord and you. And you know, I have learned not to lie to the Lord about my giving. If I am feeling that I should give extra money, maybe for the blessing box out front, or to the church in general, or maybe to somebody that I know that's really having kind of a tough time and give them a little extra money, or someone in need, other needs, or maybe to Habitat, Salvation Army, or some other benevolent organization. But then I look at my checkbook, my bank account, and I think, oh, not this month, Lord. I need this or that. Or saying, I can't do it. I don't have the time. Now, the Lord knows my billfold, and he knows my purse, my bank account. He knows how I spend my time. Ooh, ouch. There's no point in trying to fool God. This isn't Betty speaking. It's right here in his word. Psalm 7, verse 9 tells us, the righteous God probes our hearts and minds. He's doing that. He probes. In Jeremiah 23, verses 23 to 25, it talks about lying men who are called false prophets. And God said to them, am I only a God nearby and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them? Do I not fill heaven and earth? Declares the Lord. There were false prophets telling lies and probably didn't even think about the Lord. But this is what God said. I have heard what the prophets say who lie in my name. I just share these verses for us all to hear and think about what God is wanting from each of us. There is a story in the New Testament in the book of Acts, chapter 5, about a Christian man by the name of Ananias. He and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property to give to the new church. Along with his wife, they decided that Ananias would keep part of the money for himself. He took, and I think, well, if I sold some property and wanted to keep part of myself and give the rest to the Lord, that would be okay. But he took the remaining part of the money, and he gave it to the church. And when he did, he must have said that it was the entire profit, because the Apostle Peter asked him, why have you yielded to Satan and lied to God? Why have you done such a thing? Now, this story does not have a happy ending. So if you don't want to listen anymore, plug your ears. The Bible tells us that when Ananias heard this, he fell down and he died. No time for apologizing, no time to run home and get the rest of the money. He lied to God. Well, 3 hours later, Sapphira, his wife, came to the group gathering there, and not knowing what had happened to her husband, you know, they didn't have cell phones, so nobody could text her, nobody could call her, didn't have computers, so they couldn't quickly email her and say how sorry they were that Ananias had died. She didn't know any of this. But the Apostle Peter asked her if that was the amount that they had received for selling the land. We'd like to hear her say, oh, is that what Ananias said? No, it was more. But she didn't. She said, yes, that was the amount. No happy ending here either. Peter asked how she could lie to the Spirit of God and then told her that the same man who had carried her dead husband out to bury him, that they would carry her out also. At hearing this, she fell down and died. Well, as I prepared this message, these verses made me realize once again how accountable I am to God, how accountable we all are. Earlier, we sang the song, give of your best to the master, give him first strength of your youth, and give him first place in your heart, give him first place in your service, consecrate every part. Now, we all can't be preachers like Cana, but we can be full-time Christians, doing all for the glory of God. I know that many of you are in the service of helping others. Many of you are teachers who spend a lot of time preparing and helping your students, not just with the subject that they're taking, but helping them to become better people. Some of you work at DSNWK, helping others, and you show compassion and patience. Some of you work in retail, helping cantankerous customers, and others have different means of employment. No matter what we do to get a paycheck, we can do all for the glory of God, with our time, with our money. Also, if you're retired as I am, you may be confronted daily with opportunities for you to give the best for the master. Now, I am truly blessed by having wonderful neighbors who do service for the Lord. When we are experiencing bad weather, neighbors on both sides will call and check to see how I am doing, and one neighbor lives about a quarter of a mile away. Whether we are having a blizzard or a heat wave, they check on me. One of my neighbors even brings my mail in when the weather isn't so nice, because I have a rather long driveway to walk out to get the mail. Another neighbor cleans my driveway after we get a heavy snow and refuses any pay. How much time and money do we give for others? Remember at the beginning of my message, I mentioned the fellow who answered the question about what God had been teaching him that year, and he said, "It's not about me." I need to remember that. Maybe you do too.
You've been listening to Betty Rapp at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep those podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.